tremendous blessing to be able to hear you sing, Meet Me There, especially on a night when we come to a conclusion of a meeting. You know, we know people such as M.A. Butler that got done preaching and said, this could be the last time I preach. And it was. We know how fragile life is, don't we? And when we come to the conclusion of a series of meetings like these, and they've been a blessing to myself, I pray that you've gotten something of a blessing from them. What better thing could we say but meet me there? Amen. Meet me there. I have been probably more aware of the brevity of life than ever before in the last 4 or 5 years. I lost my older brother who passed away at the age that I am right now, 3.5 years ago. And then, of course, my father, I've made mention of that this week. My father passed away this past August. And the brevity of life is short. And when you've been in the ministry for 35 years, which is not terribly long. I mean, I know men that have been in the ministry 50 years. But I've been now preaching for 35 years, and 34 of them, frankly, here in Australia. When you've been preaching that long and you have come in contact with literally hundreds of people who have shown you friendship and fellowship and love, it's inevitable that there's going to come times when those will pass on and things happen. And I don't want to get all sentimental here because we've got an exciting future. Meet me there. But it is a joy to be able to have that assurance and that confidence that our God has a plan and purpose for each one of us and wants to use us for a little while. Basically, it's just a little while. And then he wants to fellowship with us in heaven forever. My, what a story. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, oh, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, oh, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. All the sins of my past, they're all gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing. My sins are all gone. Yes, down deep in the sea. And I praise my dear Lord, who has cast everyone down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down. Down in the depths of the sea, all the sins of my past, they're all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased. Oh, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down. Down in the depths of the sea. All the sins of my past, praise God, they're gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea. Oh, I wish I could do it like I used to, but you got to kind of make adjustments. The vocal cords get a little older, and you don't know what's going to come out sometimes. Someone said to me, they said the other day when I was singing, they said, Brother Weeks, are you going to get a hernia doing that? I said, I think I got one. Let me just say it's been a blessing to be here. I thank God for Pastor and Josie and their family looking after me and hospitality, food that's been sent in. Listen, I bought this jacket the other day. It's the biggest one I've ever bought in my entire life. And my wife said, if you buy another, you're going to have to get a tent, you know, kind of thing. But I said, no, this is beautiful. It's comfortable. I like it. But if you fed me any more, I probably would have to buy another one. But anyway, thank you so very, very much. You're kind, you're gracious, and God blesses you for it. I mean, it's obvious that God has blessed this church because of a few reasons. Some would be very obvious, such as your desire to send the gospel into all the world with missionaries. Others may be not so obvious unless you're a preacher like me coming in and being looked after in a wonderful and genuine way. But God blesses you because of your generosity, your graciousness, and also your faithfulness and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stay with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3. We'll read the entire chapter and then we'll pray and ask God to help us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice tonight in your grace, mercy, love, bestowed upon us freely, lovingly, carefully. Thank you for redeeming the believers here tonight. Thank you for providing redemption for any unbeliever that might be here tonight. And Lord, I pray that through the next few minutes of preaching, you would capture and bring into captivity every thought of our hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. May he receive the glory and the preeminence here, be lifted up, that he might draw men and women, boys and girls, unto him. Lord, thank you for these good meetings. Thank you for this wonderful church that stands undaunted here, because you have bestowed upon it the grace of God. Continue, Lord, to bless your work here, sending the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. Lord, bring souls into this place to join forces with these dear folks. Strengthen them. Encourage them in their walk of faith. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you will do, because we know you love them, care for them intimately. Bless now this message. Take the very words, the Bible, and put them into our hearts. Help us make application. Illumine us, enlighten us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you know? We've come to the end of the meetings. What do you know? Did you get anything from them? What do you know? Well, there's certain things that we need to know. As a matter of fact, that's why whenever I have someone get saved in one of my meetings, I ask them to read 1 John, 5 chapters, once a day, 30 days. Read it carefully and prayerfully. Find out how many times the word K-N-O-W, know or knoweth, be known. Find out how many times it appears. It's well over 30 times. I've had people come and say, I found all 30. I say, you still missed some. And they get upset with me. I said, no, go back and read it again. They come back, I found 31. I said, you still missed some. It's just a little mechanism to help us read it more carefully, closely. God wants us to know some things. And without exception, once again here, by writing to Timothy, this second letter, he said, I got something to tell you, Timothy, and it's important. Know this. Know this. But in the last days, perilous times will come. We need to understand that eschatology and the study of the last things is pretty clear. It's been getting clearer and clearer and clearer for the last 100 years. Before 100 years ago, they weren't terribly aware of some of the things that were happening. I mean, how could you see two witnesses be killed in the streets of Jerusalem and then the whole world see them rise up? Well, not too long ago, Billy Graham had a crusade which, a billion people saw. A billion. So the technology, and even if the technology wasn't there, God can still do it. Please don't think that I'm saying God's dependent upon technology. God's not dependent upon technology. He could make everybody see it if he wanted to. But the technology is out there today where we see a lot of things we didn't see 100 years ago. We see the alignment of the nations. We see the economic distress that the world is in. We see how it's standing on the precipice of a need for a world leader to step forward and say, I got the answers. So we see all of that. But know this, he said, in the last days perilous times will come. And he gives us several indicators of what perilous times he means. Now, we're not going to preach on this, but I'll just look at, list them, peruse them. He said men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Boy, do we see that today. People love themselves. Very few are willing to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Very few are willing to sacrifice so that the gospel can go forward. Very few are willing to lay down their lives for the cross. We're lovers of self, not lovers of God. We're unthankful. We're going to skip down through several of them. We're not going to take time for them all, but we're unthankful today, really, aren't we? Pastor and I were talking today, what a great idea it is to have a Thanksgiving service. Just once a year, you know, I don't believe it just should be something that America does. I think every country should do it. We should be thankful to God. I mean, just think about where you live tonight. In one of the greatest nations the world's ever known, here in modern day Australia. Freedoms. We have ability to go and to come and to make good livings and to have opportunities to raise our children, to clothe them, to put shoes on their feet and to put good food in their mouths and to have wonderful experiences. And yet, you look back just a few years ago when the Holocaust took place in Germany and those little children were jumping into the sewers to try to escape being persecuted. We live in a great time. God has afforded this to us. I think every country has something to be thankful for. I mean, you can look down through history and you can see how God has always had a remnant among all of the peoples of the world. There's always been a remnant. Especially in modern day Christianity, there's very few countries that haven't got a witness of Christ in one way or another. Now, I realize sometimes it's suppressed. Sometimes it's against the law. But in those places, oftentimes the underground church flourishes. People who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to suffer persecution. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul said. But we ought to be thankful. Thankful in the way we live our lives. Thankful to pass on through our generosity the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We've got the greatest story that man's ever known. And we've got more ability than ever before to get the gospel out and show God our thankfulness in this way. We're unthankful. We were talking about today, as I said, that I think it's a good idea to have a special day in the church's year set aside when we come before God and we maybe even bring a thank offering if that's on the schedule. But to have a meal together, we do it in the States because of the pilgrims and all that kind of stuff. But I believe Thanksgiving ought to be common in every nation, every place. Thankfulness. Without natural affection, oh my. People putting babies in dumpsters and leaving them in toilet blocks and just abandoning them. We're without natural affection today in the world. It's something that we oftentimes don't like even to think about. But we're living in a day when people have absolutely no natural affection. Goes on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's the power of godliness? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You're not going to be godly until you're saved. And you're not going to be godly as a saved person without a thorough understanding of the gospel and the work it took in order to save us and the work it takes to keep us saved and the work it's going to be to bring us into God's glory one day. But people have a form of godliness. Oh, yes, I go to church on Easter. Oh, maybe I'll darken the door around Christmas time, see the children. You know, church is all about children. They have a form of godliness. But then you even have those who are regular in their churches and who are dedicated to in their churches and who are giving in their churches. And it's all formalistic. There's nothing real about it. There's not a genuineness for a love of God which causes us to want to serve Him and causes us to want to deny ourselves and causes us to want to lift up our voice and tell the world I'm a Christian. A form of it, but they deny the power thereof. we don't have time tonight, so let's move down to verse 12. It says, yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What do you know? Well, the first thing we know tonight, Paul says, in the last days perilous times will come. Secondly, he said, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. So, therefore, number one, what can I expect in my life? What should I expect? Well, depending on how you're going to live, you can make a very, very reasonable answer here. If you intend to live godly, let's deduct and deduce here what it means to live godly. You're going to suffer persecution at work. You live godly and you don't listen to the innuendos and the dirty jokes and the office parties. You excuse yourself and all the different things that go on. I don't have to tell you what goes on. You know what goes on out there. If you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer ridicule and persecution. You got to be joking. You're going to go to church this weekend instead of going to the Mardi Gras? Huh? You're going to go and take some gospel tracts and go take an hour or so of your time and knock on people's doors and say, hey, listen, I got the best news that you can ever know right here in this little tract. Are you crazy? Don't you come knocking on my door. I'll put the boot to you. And that's happened. I remember one day, a friend of mine in Florida, when we lived in Tampa, he said, Brother Weeks, I'd like to ask you to go on visitation with me on Thursday night when we go. Would you go with me? I said, sure, I'll go with you. He said, I've got a fellow that works for me in the Gyprock. He was a Gyprock contractor, a drywall contractor. And he said, this fellow works for me. And, he's really a filthy mouthed, just a belligerent, bitter individual. He said, but God's really burdened my heart for him. And I said, well, that's good, because he needs salvation, obviously. Until somebody gets burdened about somebody else, you probably won't see him saved. I said, let's go. So I've got my New Testament in my pocket, and we go to the door, knock on the door, and he recognizes his boss. He says, well, what are you doing here? He says, well, I brought a fellow by to see you. Oh, okay, come on in. You want a beer? I said, no, not unless it's ginger. Of course, he wouldn't have known a ginger beer if it hit him in the forehead. I said, but if you don't have that, just give me a glass of water. Thanks very much. Well, you don't drink? I said, well, no, I don't. I don't find it does me any good, but, I didn't make an issue out of it. I didn't want to talk about that. I want to talk about soul. I said, glass of water be fine. Sat down. He sat down in his chair. We sat down on the couch. And Eddie said, look, Glenn here was he's a United States Army Ranger, and I think you have some military background, don't you? I says, yes, you're a Ranger, were you? I said, yes, Ranger. He said, well, he said, I was a Marine. We Marines, and he starts on it. I said, oh, yeah, I know, the jarheads, Just a little banter, And he started loosening up a little bit, Talked a little bit about Vietnam and experiences. And he said, but what are you here for? And I said, well, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. I brought that Bible out, and he went absolutely ballistic. He jumped up, his head hit the ceiling, and he said, get out of here! I said, not on your life. I'm here drinking your water, and you invited me in. I'm staying. He said, well, if you're staying, put that away. I said, no, I'm going to leave it right here. I said, it's not hurting you. It's not a bullet. It's not shot you yet. I said, that's a sword. But you know, sometimes people just, you know, they'll go ballistic. They'll insult you. They will ridicule your faith, and they'll make life hard for you. Like, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hence, how come? It always quiet about this time. Now, I don't go out looking for a fight. Please don't think that I'm asking you to do that. But it has to be true, because it's the Word of God. What should I expect if all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? What should I expect? I should expect then, if my life is aligned with the Word of God, if my life is lining up with the will of God for my life, if my life is surrendered to the Lord, if my life is desirous of the Lord to lead me in the way I ought to go, then there's going to be some persecution and some hard and difficult times out there. It's like trials. Trials come and trials go, but we oftentimes are so self-centered and so self-seeking, we think, well, the trial's all about me. It's my trial. I'd like to share it with others, but it's mine. I wish you would take 95% of it. Thank you very much. But no, it's my trial. And yet we got to look beyond ourselves. God is holding us up before a lost and dying world in darkness. And He wants to set us on fire, as it were, through a trial. Think it not strange, though this fiery trial cometh upon you. Why? Fire illuminates. Fire enlightens. And no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. And when the trial comes through persecution, perhaps, at the office or at school or at the soccer field or wherever it happens, or your next door neighbor. Man, I've had people tell me, we've got neighbors from hell. And what do you mean by that? Well, they've just given us a hard time all the time. Well, it doesn't mean they're neighbors from hell. They might have a demon, maybe. I don't know, but maybe they're there because God wants you to do something about it. And God wants to show them that your life is hid in God with Christ, or with God in Christ. So, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Then I deduce that if I'm having no persecution, I ought to examine myself to see where I am in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Where am I in the faith? Am I a baby? Well, I am when I first get saved, and I'm a baby, and I need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that I may grow thereby. And God wants us to grow. The Word of God promotes our growth. The Word of God is sustenance to our soul. The Word of God is fertilization for the roots of our faith to drive deep into the rock. The Word of God. Maybe I'm not suffering persecution because I'm not spending enough time in the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that this is a barometer of your spirituality, but if there is no resistance and no persecution, then I think we all agree there is something evidently wrong. Because it says we shall suffer persecution. Now, perhaps there's no persecution because there's been no salvation. I, I look around tonight, and I believe most everyone here tonight professes to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And I believe if we ask for testimonies, that more than many of us would stand and say, yeah, I've had some persecution in the last year, Brother Glenn. So then let's move on. As I said, I believe sometimes God allows the persecution to come so that he can hold us up before a dying world and show them how the grace of God works in people's lives. When Jennifer got cancer 20 years ago, 20 years ago this month, at the beginning of this month, she was diagnosed with third stage cancer. And 20 years ago, the third stage was pretty much a death sentence. Now, they've come a long ways in 20 years, and she had some cutting-edge therapy to help her, but we also know that God's hand was involved in keeping her alive. But in the process of that experience in our life, she was lifted up before lots of people in the hospital, in the government, in different places that we never would have had access to unless that trial and difficulty come her way. Now, she suffered some persecution in this as well because they said, look, she's an Aussie. We got to, you know, she's not a citizen, so what are we going to do? And there was enough, just enough partiality that you could feel it. Why is she getting treatment over here when we've got others that are not? Well, it wasn't our fault. We had nothing to do with it. She became the object of a round table discussion in the hospital where she was, the surgeons and the oncologists and all the people that were studying cancer wanted to study her. They wanted to make her a project, which was helpful to us. I mean, it gave us great access and gave us good care and all the different things I could spend time telling you tonight. But there was within even our church people that would say, why is she so special? My sister's dying of cancer and she doesn't get that kind of attention. You know where some of our persecution comes from? Misunderstanding amongst the brethren. It does. And we have to learn how to deal with that. How do we deal with it? We just keep our eyes on Jesus. That's all. Just keep our focus on the... Listen, people, they don't know half the time what's on our plate. They assume they do. And they think, well, yeah, they should have done, could have done, did not do, whatever. And you know, it's yeah, you know what it's like, brother. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We all know this. But how do we deal with it? Do we get bitter? And do we just say, blow it all, I'm not going to stay there, I'm just going to get out? No! We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why are we something special that we shouldn't suffer persecution from amongst the brethren? Listen, the Lord Jesus himself had all of them depart from him. Left him alone. Why should we think we're any better than our Savior? Or are they abandoning him in his darkest hour? So when persecution comes from within the body of Christ, we say, dear Lord, this toe over here doesn't understand what this toe is trying to do. And so would you do whatever's necessary in this toe so that this toe can do what you want that toe to do? Pretty simple, isn't it? We're a body. Lord, this brother over here, he just doesn't understand what's going on. The penny hasn't dropped with him yet. And he said some things that are hurtful, and he said some things that are they're without foundation, and I could just go, boom, I could take care of it. But oh God, I'm gonna just surrender to you. You take care of it. Sweet peace. You give it over to the Lord, and the peace of just over. You say, why didn't I do this quicker? I love the brother in Christ. If he's not in Christ, man, I could sure do something for him, you know. But all I'm trying to illustrate, folks, is we're going to have some persecution. It's going to come from within. It's going to come from without. It's going to come from underneath. So what do we do? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You're a great and wonderful God, Lord, and I'm going to hang on to you, and I'm going to just wrestle with you until I get the blessing. That's what we do. We don't get down in the dumps, and we don't get fretting and carrying on about this one and that one and say it's unfair and, oh, poor me and this and that. We're no better than our master. But what delight there is to turn it over to him. That's why he tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, perilous times are coming to us individually, coming to us as families. Perilous times are there, and all these different things are going to come to the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're going to be called upon to bear one another's burdens and so fill the law of Christ. And, oh, the temptation's going to be, is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's such a struggle. He said this to Timothy. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did you learn salvation from? The blessed Spirit of God. Who did you learn how to love Christ from? The blessed Spirit of God. Taking the Word of God, hearing His love, not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. He said, listen, continue. Be continual in your walk, continuous in your love, continuous in your faithfulness, continuous, consistent. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing. Not guessing, not wondering, but knowing of whom thou hast learned. I learned it from Jesus. I learned it from the Spirit of God. I learned it from the King of Kings. I've learned it from the God of Heaven, who is the Creator of all men. I've learned from Him, and therefore it's absolutely correct and altogether true, never to be changed. I learned it. So, I'm able to deal with it. Oh yes, I'm able to deal with anything by trusting Christ. By faith. Looking unto Him. Resting in the knowledge that His will is perfect for my life. Resting. Perfectly at peace. With God. With my fellow man. And with myself. That's important, to be at peace with yourself. But it only comes when you're at peace with God and with your fellow man. That's why we're not to let the wrath, the sun go down upon our wrath. We take care of it before that, because we don't want our prayers hindered, but we also want the sweet, peaceful sleep that comes with being right with God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've just scratched the surface here. There's much more. But we trust the folks will take and read it and study it and look over it and ask the blessed teacher of the Word of God to enlighten them to the deeper and greater things that are still here. Lord, help me to learn more. Help me to be exercised in these truths. For it's true, perilous times are coming. We don't doubt that. And Lord, we are not above our Master. We know that suffering is going to come too. We just thank you that the grace of God is sufficient for every need. Bless your people tonight, dear Lord. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.